Going to Vail, Colorado to record this podcast was just fantastic. We were the guests of Bravo Vail, the incredible music festival out there, and the show had unforgettable moments, including a very moving interview I had with the violinist up first on the program. This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you enjoy it.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome, everybody. We're coming to you today from the Villar Performing Arts Center in beautiful Beaver Creek, Colorado, as part of the Bravo Vail Music Festival. The Bravo Vail Festival is famous for bringing three of America's top orchestras to town during its six-week summer season: the New York Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and the Dallas Symphony. Along with many of the best chamber musicians in the world, they perform here during the summer, and we want to give a big thank you to Bravo Vail for including us among such distinguished company. And today, yet another orchestra will join Bravo Vail season as a special guest on our show. The National Repertory Orchestra, which is in residence in nearby Breckenridge, is an orchestral training program that prepares young musicians for careers in the orchestra world. It's the kind of fellowship orchestra that many From the Top performers aspire to join a year or two after being on our show. We've got lots of alums in the band, too. The NRO will join us in the second half of the program. But first, let's meet a wonderful 17-year-old violinist from the Pacific Northwest. Please welcome, from Clinton, Washington, on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound, 17-year-old Mira Yamamoto. Mira, welcome. Tell everyone what we're going to play to start the program.
We will be playing Caprice Basque by Pablo de Sarasate.
When you are set at center stage, we will take it from the top. Thank you. Mira Yamamoto, 17-year-old violinist from Clinton, Washington, performed Caprice Basque by Pablo de Sarasate. Brava, Mira. That was wonderful. We've never had that piece on the program in all the years, so thank you for bringing that to us. Mira, you're a wonderfully expressive person and player, but you weren't always that way. In fact, the story of your childhood is one of amazing transformation. You were adopted from a children's home in Kazakhstan when you were 2.5. What have you been told about your emotional state at that time?
Well, I was really shut down, and I didn't make eye contact, and all I did was cry. And I didn't even speak any language. Russian is the language in Kazakhstan, and I understood it, but I didn't speak it. So I was just basically really shut down, and yeah.
So your future parents flew to Kazakhstan. They spent a month doing all the required paperwork. They visited the orphanage for the permitted 1 hour a day, and they found themselves face to face with a child who wouldn't interact. Here's what your mom, Barbara, had to say about that time.
The very first time we saw her, she was being led out to us in a meeting room. And as soon as she laid eyes on us, she just started screaming in terror and wailing. She wouldn't come any closer to us. So I felt really stricken. And when we went back to our hotel, I just remember I cried pretty much the whole rest of the day. And even though I was very distraught, and my husband tried his best to console me, maybe it's just my natural stubbornness, we knew there was a real girl in there, and we wanted to bring her home and give her a chance to grow up to be the best person she could be.
Well, happily, your personality began to emerge. Tell the wonderful story of your first social breakthrough.
We were on the playground outside the baby house, and my dad, I guess this is like the first human connection I ever had, is so we were playing, and I was being stony, and I think probably crying, I don't know, and my dad decided to take me by the ankles and turn me upside down and shake me, and that was the first time I think I ever laughed in my life, and I laughed really, I think I laughed really hard.
Yeah. Your first laugh. That's
yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I know that even after moving to the Seattle area, you continued to be very withdrawn in public. How did that begin to change?
I started violin. I started Suki, and holding the violin, I guess, and playing helped open me up. It was a long and slow process. I mean, it wasn't like that overnight, but slowly I began to be able to express myself with music, and in public, even though I was still shy, it got better.
You were obviously adopted into a very happy situation and loved by the whole extended family. Talk about your grandfather and his influence on your big dream.
Well, he always believed in me, and he thought I was special. And I told him I wanted to go to Juilliard like a long time ago, and he always believed in me in that. And he had a very strong work ethic. He went to work when he was 12 years old during the Great Depression, and he worked up until he was like 89, which was a couple years ago before he died. And he had some really witty sayings that he liked to tell me, one of which was, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And good hard work always pays off. And he wrote me an email. The last email that he ever wrote me was, keep your eye on your target, Juilliard, and remember that you can do it. And I'm glad to say that I get to go. So.
Absolutely. And what a wonderful distinction that your grandfather made in terms of not just hard work, but good hard work,
yeah.
You know, well-placed labors. And my gosh, we were the recipients of the fruits of those labors. Just wonderful performance. Thank you, Mira, for being with us, and best
Thank
of
you.
Luck.
Thank you.
Mira Yamamoto, 17-year-old violinist from Clinton, Washington, north of Seattle. Mira studies with Simon James of the Seattle Symphony.
Mira is quite an outstanding visual artist as well as an outstanding musician. You can see some of her paintings, including one of her dream apartment in New York, at fromthetop.org. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to our website to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. The young woman who's now center stage, ready to perform, is one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists Joanne just mentioned. This is the 16-year-old pianist from New York City, Yulan Ji. We will hear her perform two of Rachmaninoff's Etudes Tableau from Opus 33, number 8 in G minor and number 6 in E flat minor.
Thank you.
Yulan G, 16-year-old pianist from New York City, performed two etudes from Rachmaninoff's Etudes Tableau, Opus 33. So evocative, Yulan. That was just so gorgeous.
Thank you.
Such gloomy music coming from such a sunny personality and such a brilliant technique. So beautiful. Major congratulations are in order. You just placed third in the inaugural Van Cliburn International Junior Competition. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what was the scene like there? You know, razor blades between the keys, stuff like that? Or?
No. Well, for me, it was definitely one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. And I really learned a lot from my peers. I was really inspired by their passion and their interpretations of music, and we also talked about the way we practice and how we prepare for competitions and performances. Yeah, it was really inspiring and very helpful.
Excellent. Yeah. You come from China, from a very musical family. What are your earliest memories in starting the piano?
My mom, she's a piano teacher, and when I was little, she used to teach her lessons at home. So I remember myself sitting on the floor and watching her teach, and after her students left, I would go on the piano and try to press some keys and mess with the pedals.
That's right. You literally started from the ground up on the pedals. Obviously explains your beautiful pedaling technique, you know, really learned it from scratch. You look back at your first recital back in Beijing with great fondness, not just for how you played, but I found this interesting, also for how you felt in the recital.
Yes, I guess at the time I didn't really know what a recital was, so I was just really fearless, and I would just go on stage and play like how I would play at home, and honestly, I'm really jealous of that now because now when I have to give a recital, I get nervous and I get stage fright. And yeah, I really miss that.
Just have to pretend you're back at home, you know? These are all your friends in your living room. So you're here in this country studying at Juilliard Pre-College, but you're also at 16 living without your parents. I know because of that, your friends are intensely important to you, especially one particular friend, a friend of ours too.
Yeah. Well, her name is Chelsea Guo, and she was actually on the show last year. And I'm just really grateful that I got to meet her last year because before I met her, I had just moved to a new high school, and I wasn't making any friends. I was just basically in this phase of my life where I just felt really unhappy and down. And after I started hanging out with her, I felt myself starting to open up, and I was more willing to socialize, and
yeah.
I was more willing to talk to people.
Right.
So yeah, I'm really grateful that I made friends with her.
Yes.
Because she had really changed me as a person.
Well, I'm glad she brought you out of your shell, and,
yeah.
And here you are in front of all your new friends who want to be anxious to be friends with you, and just a great performance of the Rachmaninoff. Just loved that. Thank you, Yulan. Yulan G, 16 years old, from New York City. And now a fine 17-year-old cellist from Paris, France, studying this summer at the Aspen Music Festival in school. Please welcome Lisa Strauss.
I'm going to play a piece by Philippe Herson, Les Ombres de Giverny, so in English, Shadows of Giverny.
Thank you.
Lisa Strauss, 17-year-old cellist, plays Les Ombres de Giverny, The Shadows of Giverny, by Philippe Herson. Bravo, Lisa. Very evocative and colorful, or shadowy piece, I guess.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your father. Your father has a very particular relationship to the piece you just played.
Yeah. This piece has been written for him and for my parents' festival, Musique de Chambre à Giverny.
Yeah. Yes. So tell us a little bit about the composer, Philippe.
The composer is a friend of the family. Yeah, and it's interesting because the pizzicato, the composer wanted to remove the pizzicato, and my father said, "No, if you remove the pizzicato, I will not play the piece." So I think this is like the most important passage of the piece, pizzicato. Sure.
Passionate about politics and pizzicati, the French. Excellent. Your father teaches at the Paris Conservatoire. Is it true he was your first teacher?
Yeah, he was my first teacher. I worked with him for 2 years, and then I entered on the Paris Conservatory, not the big but the smaller, with the teacher Hélène Dutry. She teaches me for 7 years, I think. And then, I will work again with my father this year at the Paris Conservatory.
Is it difficult working with your father as your teacher? What's that like?
It was difficult when I was younger. But I realized that he's a wonderful teacher, and he was the only teacher who could bring me the most important things for the cello and for the music.
And so you're going to be studying with him again at Paris Conservatoire when you enter next year. Wonderful. And all your siblings are musical, yes? What are they all
doing? Yes, my brother is a guitarist, but not classical. He plays jazz, pop, and rock. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And my sister is a cellist, a wonderful cellist. She works at the Opera House in Paris. Wonderful. And my sister, Elena, my twin sister, is a jazz singer and a painter, fabulous painter.
Yeah. Wow, you really cover the waterfront artistically. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Yeah. So what about your future? Do you have a specific dream for yourself in the arts or in music?
I know I want to work in art, but I don't care if it's the cello or not, just the music or the art, yeah.
Yes. Well, we hope you stick with the cello. We hope we get to hear you many times in the future. It was a wonderful performance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Strauss, 17 years old, from Paris, studying this summer at the Aspen Music Festival and school.
Our fabulous host, Christopher O'Reilly, along with the renowned cellist Matt Heimovitz, has just released a new album featuring the complete Beethoven sonatas, all recorded on period instruments. It's called Beethoven Period. Find it at oxingalerecords.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Villar Performing Arts Center in Beaver Creek, Colorado, as part of the Bravo Vail Music Festival. From the Top's Vail residency is made possible with support from the Tippett Rise Fund of the Sidney E. Frank Foundation. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Now it's time for our special guests, the members of the National Repertory Orchestra. The NRO is a pre-professional training orchestra in residence at nearby Breckenridge, Colorado. We'll learn more about the orchestra in a minute, but first, let's meet their conductor and hear them play. Please welcome the music director of the National Repertory Orchestra, Carl Topolo. Carl, I should fill in your biography by telling our listeners that when it isn't summertime, you can be found at the Cleveland Institute of Music as Director of Orchestral Studies and performing as a virtuoso clarinetist. What is the age range of the orchestra?
The age range technically is from 18 to 28, but we have very few 18s and very few 28s. So a bunch in between and a few people under 21 who know who they are.
Will you introduce the first piece you're going to perform?
Yes, we'll be doing the final movement, the Jota from the Three-Cornered Hat Ballet, and just a tremendous piece. It utilizes the whole orchestra and a full palette of colors. Can I just add, Chris, one thing? The other night I got to hear the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. I was very proud to see 14 alumni of the NRO that I knew about. And I think there might have been a few more that I didn't remember, but at least 14.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So look forward to the Defia. The stage is yours.
Thank you.
The National Repertory Orchestra, under the direction of Carl Topolo, played the final dance from Manuel de Falla's ballet score, The Three-Cornered Hat, the Jota. We're now going to spend a few minutes talking to two members of the orchestra, two alums of From the Top, Matthew Shin, a cellist now studying at the College Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, and Jennifer Zoe, a flutist now at Rice University in Houston. Bravo, everybody. That's wonderful playing. Jennifer, you said your particular interest in the National Repertory Orchestra is an extension of why you chose Rice. Tell everybody.
Yes, so I am at a place in my career where I am doing everything I can to learn about the orchestral playing skills, and so I chose to go to Rice because of its incredibly intense orchestral program, and NRO because we go through so much repertoire in just 2 months.
That's right. And Matt, what drew you to the NRO?
Well, after my first year of college at Cincinnati, I knew I wanted to participate in an orchestra festival because I really hadn't done that before. Mostly throughout high school, I've been doing a lot of string-specific camps and doing a lot of closely focused individual practice. And, I mean, a lot of these people on stage know that when you do a lot of practice, you can kind of get in a rut, and it's not a lot of fun. You're kind of doing the grind daily. So here I can kind of loosen up and have a lot of fun, make a lot of friends, be social, all that.
Yeah, well, as loose as you can be, playing, you know, how many concerts a week, you know, just amazing. And the NRO is run like a professional orchestra, which teaches you a new pace for rehearsing a concert. So how many rehearsals for a show?
Well, what's funny is that, you know, back at school, we take somewhere around like 3 weeks to prepare a concert, and here we're lucky to get any more than 3 days to put together a program. So it's very, very much like a professional orchestra. That's obviously why we're here.
Yeah.
And it creates some, I don't know, weird mishmash of programs, because one day we could be rehearsing a certain program in the morning and then doing a totally different concert at night. And I can remember specifically this past week, Fourth of July, just were very busy. So the librarians, who are very hardworking people, bravo,
yes.
We had like 75 pieces, I think, on our stand at once.
Wow.
So it's
amazing.
A lot of music to go through, but definitely worth it, I think.
Jennifer, we've talked a lot about the orchestral training, but you get a lot out of the seminars that they also hold at the NRO. What do you?
Yes. So we've had a couple really great seminars. There was one covering the audition etiquette, hosted by Maestro Topolo, and it's something that no one really talks about, but we have to learn it someday.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also another one about music therapy, headed by DeForia Lane, and it touched me a lot. She talked about stories where patients recovered their speech through music.
Well, it was very therapeutic hearing this, Faya. I can dance again. Oh my gosh. You guys were wonderful. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Matthew Shin and Jennifer Zoe, two alums from the top who are fellows this summer with the National Repertory Orchestra.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
Now, more from the National Repertory Orchestra, this time with a couple of soloists at the pianos. I will be performing on one of those pianos in the finale of Poulenc's Concerto for Two Pianos and Orchestra. My partner in crime, my boss, on the other Steinway, performing piano one, is a dear friend and esteemed colleague and artistic director of Bravo Vale, our hosts today, Anne-Marie McDermott. Please welcome her.
Great to be here, Chris, and it's just such a joy to have From the Top here, and wonderful to have you here as an artist.
We've been looking forward to it for a long time. Anne-Marie, you have an amazing career as piano soloist, chamber musician, but this music festival has got to command a big part of your heart, really.
It does, and you know, nobody offers a course in how to be an artistic director. And so when I first was privileged enough to get the job, my first thought was, I need someone great to be working with, and I'm very lucky that the director of artistic planning is Jacqueline Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
So together, we're... And, you know, it's a team. We have an incredible team here at Bravo, and so I was surprised my first summer just how exhilarating it is, actually, to see it all come together.
I mentioned the fact that Bravo Vale is unique in that three major American orchestras perform here. But tell us, I mean, are there any new developments at the festival that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, every season I'm trying to come up with some new initiatives just to keep things fresh. And this year, I've been dreaming for 5 years of starting a piano fellows program. And I researched all sorts of young pianists and invited two of them to join us this season for about 12 days to come practice a lot, play a lot of concerts, play a four-hand program together, collaborate with members of Dallas Symphony. They were lucky enough to have a brilliant, profound, insightful masterclass with Mr. Christopher O'Reilly. And Nico Namarazzi and Fei-Fei Dong, and it's been an honor having them here. They played their last concert today, so... Yeah. That's been a very fun, very close to my heart, new initiative.
Great initiative. Well, I've been looking so forward to playing this Poulenc with you. Shall we do
it? Let's.
All right. Again, this is the final movement of the Concerto for Two Pianos and Orchestra in D Minor by Francis Poulenc. Carl Topolow will conduct the National Repertory Orchestra. It's a great way to end this program from Bravo Vale Music Festival. I want to thank all of our wonderful young musicians today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Join me again next week, and we'll once again take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Todd Howe, with assistant Erickson Hearn. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Fluid Review, an online application management software. Fluid Review helps academic institutions and nonprofit organizations empower their scholarship, grant, and award programs. Learn more at fluidreview.com. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Learn more at knightfoundation.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. Okay, the break piece from this show is pretty special, and it's all yours now as part of the podcast. I say it's special because it features our special guest pianist, Anne-Marie McDermott, and yours truly performing a piano duo. This is the fourth movement from Four Movements for Two Pianos by Philip Glass.